The Survivor Specialists, Phil and McKenna, are back, and we are here to do the cast assessment for Australian Survivor Redemption. 24 players, 20 of which are new, 4 of which are returning players. We got Brooke, we got Harry, we got Mark, and we have Simon. Dirty Harry is the proper way to put that. We're going to be breaking down all 24 of these players, shots, whatever. I mean, look, we don't have a lot of information here, but we wanted to get this going because especially with Survivor 50 around the corner, Survivor 50 coverage is just taking over. We were just sitting down doing our recap of If It Smells Like Rat, Give It Cheese. We're going to be doing podcasts every night this week, including not only this week are we doing an episode recap every night, we're also doing another additional podcast every single night, whether it's Traders Recap, whether it's Celebrating Survivor, whether it's Hot Takes on Wednesday, whether it's the 50 draft tomorrow. There's so many podcasts, right? So we got to do this at some point. We got to break it down some way. And obviously not with the same hype as AU versus the World, which everybody was super excited about. And, you know, that was different. We had Miles on that episode, and we had Ferris on an episode here and there.
He did the draft.
So here we are. We're talking about this. Maybe we'll do a draft for this at some point. Probably not, because we don't know anything about these people. AU is so weird about the way they release information. We've known that they were doing redemption since like November. Then they started releasing members of the cast. And then
they released four returnees. And then they're releasing so much on Instagram, but nothing are bios. There are some TBDs on ages, on occupations, on location, on where they live. Like, I was scrounging for some nugget of information. So some of these slides are a bit nonsense, and some of these actually have like some worth to it, but a lot are just like quotes from their reveal on Instagram being like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to do this. Like, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's what we have. I have not reviewed McKenna's thing here, so she could have a whole thing about Parvati being the greatest two-time winner in the history of the show.
Yeah, it's hidden in there.
I was not able to stop her when the subliminal messaging starts hitting you in the face. That's what's happening. But yeah, I mean, look, it's so different. U.S. Survivor versus Australian Survivor in every way is so different. Whether it's the way the cast is announced, the way the show is put together, how reliant Australian Survivor is on returning players so often. Theming, 1 year instead of 2 a year, the number of people in a cast, although that is now even with 24 and 24, the number of days, the physicality of the challenges, everything is so different. So why wouldn't this be the most different? In Entertainment Weekly and Sharon Tharp putting out a million different articles, we get a bunch of random Instagram videos and TikTok videos and a bunch of random images of people, and what, here we are.
The vibes. Let's see where our vibes take us, Phil.
Let's do it. So there it is. We got to do the regular background here because it doesn't fit. Do we have one? Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Oh, that was bad. Oh, he already made the background. That's a new background. Yeah, Hold on. We got to give Austin his moment here.
Yeah.
Australian Survivor Redemption backgrounds. Okay. Those look good. All right. So let's go here. Regular background. There it is. That's the image, the cast photo from Channel 10 out there in Australia. So
yeah, everything has the Channel 10 and Survivor Redemption watermark on them.
Love it. I mean, look, now you guys can't say that we stole credit. Boom. Let's see where McKenna started us off. Oh, that didn't work. All right. Let's see where McKenna started us off. Boom. That didn't work. All right. We got this. There it is. Is he first?
Yes.
Okay, so we got Simon Meef, 35 years old, Brisbane, Queensland. Brains vs. Brawn, 1, and Heroes vs. Villains, 14th and 6th. Quote, every ending has a new beginning, the final chapter in this trilogy, redemption, fire. First AU player to be voted out with multiple idols, I remember it well. Ready to rely on his social and strategic game over physical, that's not good.
Yeah.
And Simon was originally cast on the Heroes Tribes in HVV, but he was dropped 8 weeks before filming. He was then reinvited to the season as a villain a week before the season. If anybody was wondering, the randomness of casting, that is it in a nutshell right there. He was a hero, then he was a villain. You all thought Parvati was the only one? No. Simon also fits that. Got voted out with two O's.
I'm not looking forward to Simon at all. I don't think he needs a third arc for his story. I don't think he needed a second arc for his story.
He needed a second arc. Getting voted out with the two idols, he absolutely needed a second arc.
Well, he definitely does not need a third in my eyes. I'm not a big Simon fan because I don't see what he can do better. And then him coming and saying he wants to play more of a social and strategic game better, more than the physical game. I'm like, what? I don't know what he's going to do because I don't see him having anything there because he was always on the back step and making big moves at wrong times and then just still like not able to recover and get on top.
Yeah, I mean, that's my biggest takeaway too. Like Simon, out of the four that are returning players, I feel like has the worst chance of them to win. I feel like he brings the least in terms of like, you know, what is the word? I can't think of the word, but like the dynamicism.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a word, but he's like the least dynamic. We're going to get there.
We're not in English.
I feel like Simon's game is so one note. He feels like the Aussie choice, but the one thing I will give Simon is I do think he's very entertaining. I think he's goofy. He's silly. And I think there's something fun about watching people who are goofy and silly kind of make the same mistakes over and over again. Mm-hmm. And as St. Clippo says, Simon can play once without George. So that's also true. He's played both of his seasons with George, and George has.
That's the only thing I'm looking forward to with Simon is he has his heel isn't here. He can play a free game and someone who's not constantly breathing down his neck or that he has to worry about flipping on him or things like that. And he also has Harry on his tribe, which I think is a crazy choice because they are like bros guys. So they're immediately going to link up. I think Simon should have been with Brooke, in my opinion.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think that would have been better for sure. So I don't know. We'll see how this goes. So let's go to the next person because we're only on one. Oh, I got to scroll. Oh, Harry. There he is. All right. So Dirty
Harry.
Is
Harry.
Same age, huh? 35, Perth, Western Australia, Champions versus Contenders 2 and All-Stars 3rd and 11th. Dirty Harry, redemption for me is bulldozing my way through this game and win $500,000. Received 15 votes against in Challenge versus Contenders 2, Champions versus Contenders 2. Tying the former Australian Survivor record for most votes cast against someone in a single season. Who has it now?
It's whatchamacallit, Raymond from...
Titans versus Rebels. Okay, that makes sense. See, Dirty Harry, I'm all in on. And Ben Swag says it here. I've seen a lot of Harry promo on Instagram and YouTube. I was trying to dissect this on the Patreon. I did like a whole episode about how they've kind of been putting stuff out. Does this mean that they're going to get so much Dirty Harry that Australian Survivor is doing that thing where they're not subtle in who their winner is going to be? Or like somebody who's going to make a deep run, or do they think that, or is Dirty Harry going to go out super early and they're just trying to make the most of him?
Harry and Simon already have a person that wants them out and is gunning for him. It's in one of their fun facts. So we'll find out who it is, but they've already got targets on their back and they're already in an alliance. We know Harry and Simon. So they're boys, returnees in the game and have gone and made a deep ish run. So I don't know. The way he maneuvered in his first game was crazy. He played two idols correctly. Meanwhile, Simon played two idols incorrectly by going home with them. But
yeah, he did.
So it's going to be interesting because Harry can play from the bottom. And if he's on the bottom, he's going to be a force there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he proved, and then also in All-Stars, like coming back as one of the bigger threats, I think was impressive for him to come out and play as well as he did. I'm a big fan of Dirty Harry. I think that he brings what you want in a Survivor character. He has fun with it. He knows the game. He's willing to play. He finds a way to kind of scrape by all the time. And even if he's only in one episode, he's going to give you good content. He is.
We love a fake kid.
Yeah, the fake kid lie. Well, I remember watching that because again, for anybody who's new to the channel or doesn't know, like I didn't watch all these live. I just watched all these in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I was doing them for the Patreon and just doing recaps and everything. And when he makes up that he has a kid, I was like, holy shit, this guy is playing the game. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. Lindell. This feels like it's skipping one every time I hit it. Okay. Lindell Keane, 34, Sydney. What is that? New South Wales?
Yes.
Yes. Oh my New God. Look at me. She's a model. I've always loved pushing my limits and challenging myself, but nothing compares to this. Throughout my life, I've often been underestimated, and this experience is about proving anyone wrong. It's about proving to myself what I'm truly capable of. Her partner is a former Bachelor Australia star, Dr. Matt Agnew. Do we know what she is trying to get redemption for? Because obviously with the returning players, Eric Vina says this, does he need redemption? Like, Harry doesn't need redemption. He played two good games. Eric Vina also said, it's too much returnees. I want to see some of the new people. I know nothing about them. Jairo Di Garcia, if Harry wins Final Immunity, wins against Pierre or Baden based on Shannon Gus deep dive and exit press from Australian Survivor. So what am I supposed to know about Lindell that makes me say she needs redemption?
I don't know. That's the thing. This is everything I got from her bio. So I don't know. Redemption to get out of her bachelor partner's shadow. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's I always find it funny. I
guess she's always underestimated in her life. She's trying to put herself out there and prove that she can do something. But is that a redemptive arc? I don't know.
I mean, St. Clifo's keeping it simple. I'm here for this girl from a visual
standpoint. I mean, yes.
Yeah. McKenna's are, look, I always find it funny when you hear these themes. I remember when we did Game Changers, we had Julia Sokolowski come on our podcast and we said, all right, we're going to play a game. You're going to go through everybody. We're going to talk about the cast and you're going to say whether they're a game changer or not. She was ruthless. No, not a game. Yeah, but game, blah, blah, blah. She just went through. But Australian Survivor does this weird thing of like champions versus contenders. Russell Hance is on the champions tribe. Okay, but what is Russell Hance the champion of? Finishing second place on a season and then third on another? Like, he never won. And so it always confuses me when this kind of stuff happens. And now with redemption, it feels like we're supposed to know something about these people. Mm-hmm. Or like, it's like Steven, what was his last name? The guy who was the speed skater, who was the gold medalist, but was kind of an ass. Forget what his last name is, but like, he goes out early. He would be good for a redemption type season. If you're going to call it redemption, I feel like it has to be returning players. So when I look at Lindell, mm-hmm. I'm like, great.
Well, heroes versus good. Villains should be returning players too. And they mix them all up. So like, Australian Survivor does that where they give a theme and then just like, throw these people into it, making not really any sense.
Yeah. Sandy AP, redemption season with newbie is really strange. I agree. Bradbury, thank you, James Barber. But like Lindell, good looking model, married to a former bachelor, Australia. Doesn't seem like she has much to redeem.
Like, seems like she's doing great in her life.
Yeah. I don't know. So, all right. There's Lindell. All right. I can't wait till we do. Who do you think is going to win at the end of this? That's going to be
Lindell.
Eliza Riley. Okay, so do they only cast people in their mid-30s? Because maybe I need to just start applying for...
It could be all wrong information because they don't know any... Because the website doesn't know anything about it.
Well, all right, so Eliza Riley, 35, Sydney, writer. Playing Survivor as a newbie? Okay, fine. Playing Survivor alongside the best game... The best the game has ever seen? Let's go. All right, let's
take a spell here.
No one here has won. Nobody here is, you know, a Suri level loser.
Being the best... to ever play?
Yeah, I know. Dirty Harry is what she meant. She co-created the comedy web series Sheila's about the forgotten women of Australian history, which was then developed into a book, wrote, directed, and performed in ABC One's Growing Up Gracefully, co-hosted the FBI's Girls Gone Mild show. That doesn't sound as exciting as what St. Clipo is hoping for over here, and would rather stay loyal than blindside.
So that last bullet is from a Would You Rather video that they put up on Instagram. And it was like listing through a few different categories. And that was the most notable. Other were like, would you rather rice or beans? So I didn't put that one in. But she would rather stay loyal to allies than blindside someone while everybody else said blindside, which is interesting. But again, what is she redeeming? Because... I mean, she has a great job set up here.
That's exactly Daryl Seymour. What the heck is her redemption? Is it that she feels bad about remembering the forgotten women of Australian history? Like, is she, does she feel bad that she wrote and performed ABC One's Growing Up Gracefully, that she co-hosted Girls Gone Mad? Like, it feels like, okay, I don't, like, again, I don't, I've never heard this woman speak. To me, it feels like she's like a feminist who's proud of her feminist decisions. So it's like, what is her redemption? Is she mad she didn't do Girls Gone Wild because Girls Gone Wild got worse ratings? Like, it just feels absurd to me that she's sitting here as a redemption. It feels like she's doing well. And it's not.
Did she be like David versus Goliath or something?
Yeah. Like, and what was the girl who made all the racist comments, or like, what was her name? Rogue? Is that what it was?
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's so, like, yeah, that person was looking for redemption for like their career and stuff. Didn't get it, by the way, spoilers. But Eliza here, I'm just like, I don't know. Like, look, maybe Eliza would be good. I like that she's holding the hat so that her hair could properly flow. If I was doing Issa look, you know, I'm feeling pretty good here. Like, yeah. I want to know where she got that shirt, because that is an interesting design with the pink on the sleeve with the blue, and she's on what, a green tribe? I mean, this is interesting.
We're trying, guys.
Yeah, James Barber, all these people were canceled in a previous life. We just don't know it yet.
There we go.
I mean, I love Jairo D. Garcia, Rogue, worst player all time since Wendy Jo. Never let Wendy Jo sleep. Just...
Yeah, we called her out on celebrating Survivor the other day.
The poor woman just wants her peace, man. All right, here we go. Next up. We got Asia, I'm assuming. I'm going to go with it. Said like Asia from... like
Aisha.
Okay. 26, Brisbane, NDIS support worker. What is that?
I didn't look it up. I just wrote
Come
it.
Come on, McKenna.
But she's also a burgeoning actress. She made her screen debut at South by Southwest Sydney 2025 with the short film Deadly. Then she quoted, "That lovely retreat I went on was actually just me starving on an island competing to win a half a mil. And if she wins, she's going to the dentist and getting a house."
Okay, are you ready for this?
Yep.
So this doesn't tell you why she needs redemption. You'll never understand. Okay. She is a NDIS support worker. NDIS is the National Disability Insurance Scheme, which scheme sounds bad, but in Australia, it's not. It's from the Australian government that funds reasonable and necessary support associated with disability. She totally needs redemption.
Yeah.
I hate when people do good things. I hate that.
She needs to be redeemed from her good doings. Like, do something bad in the game so you can be redeemed in life.
And so where do we stand on this? This is really actually, this is important to think about. So we have Eliza, who is holding her hat. We have
That's what this is called.
We have her with her hand on the brim of her hat.
I like the little head cock with the brim. Yeah.
Do you think that this was the first choice for this? Or do you think this was one of those where they were like, "Hey, we've done 36 other pictures of you. None of these poses have worked.
Let's try the hat.
Yeah. I feel like, do you ever see Little Miss Sunshine?
No.
Oh God. All right. Well, in Little Miss Sunshine, it's about like the children's beauty pageant, right? The family trip. They got to get to the beauty pageant. St. Clippo, she needs redemption for her performance in Deadly. That's funny. In the beauty pageant, there's like a dance that the person does, like the little girl, where she like keeps tipping her hat and stuff. That's what this looks like. This looks like she's posing for like a children's. This is awesome. Eric Vina, I have no clue what they're redeeming. Horrible theme. I think this is actually making this like the greatest cast assessment of all time. There's nothing to know about these people, but I love it. She's going to the dentist and getting a house.
Yeah, probably because her teeth are a wreck after so many days on Survivor. Like, I don't know.
I mean, that's also a thing I'm looking at. It's like, not only does this woman need redemption for supporting people with disabilities, she also needs to go to a dentist because her teeth are perfectly straight and white. I mean, what is happening right now?
It's after the game. Once she stays out on the island for 100 days or however many.
They're going to end up sitting here going, "Hey, by the way, she actually owns a mansion. So now she just wants a house." Like, all right, we're moving on. She's the youngest so far, though, at least based on what we know, 26 years old. I keep feeling like I'm skipping. All right, Lottie Ray, 33, Trangy. Artist, ABC's Portrait Artist of the Year, who painted Ken Doan in the series premiere episode. In one of the previews, it looks like Lottie will try to take on Harry and Simon. giving Sun $1,000, buying friends an embryo for IVF, and have a party if she wins. Mm-hmm. Is that a Dolphins jersey?
It looks like just a random jersey to me.
Okay.
That team that she's wearing needs redemption. So she's repping them and wearing them on her back. I'm sorry,
that's why I think it's the Dolphins. It makes sense. Okay, so it feels like so far this tribe is very artistic driven.
Yeah.
It feels like it's very creator entertainment driven. And then that makes a little bit more sense with Simon and Harry. Because Simon, if I'm not mistaken, and I know anybody who like actually follows along with Australian Survivors like Phil, we already know this. But Simon does something. He's like a construction worker or something, but like he didn't he have a show or something? I don't know. Maybe I'm making this up. Anyway.
Clothing company after his time on Survivor that has since kind of stopped, called Snuffed.
Okay, well, he needs redemption for that. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like it's very artistic. It's very artsy driven. Mm. I also like that she'd give her son $1,000. Yeah. He wins 500K, he gets 1,000.
Listen, IVF is expensive, so that's where everything else is going. But that's a really great friend to have. And why do you need to be like have redemption? Were you a shitty friend before that and you need redemption so you can get them a baby?
I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't know. And I'm looking up Ken Dunn. It's like, this is like a huge 85-year-old artist. It's like, it seems like she's killing it. I don't get it so far. I'm confused by the theme, everybody. Daniel Lindbergh, 28, South Headland, pastor, dubbed Pastor Daniel. Wow. Loves to flyboard, wants to record an album with money without the O. Check Tropical Island, check Good Company, X on enough food. I hope you are ready for a wild ride. Believes the other contestants may underestimate him because he's a pastor. Always says the wrong name. So when I originally had heard this, because this was one of the weird things that Survivor had done, Australian Survivor had done, where they like posted, here's what the jobs are going to be for a lot of the people on our season. And I was like, a pastor. So this is probably like the John Raymond. Thing, right? Yeah, exactly. That's immediately where our minds go.
Not Shan, though.
No, not Shan. But then it doesn't seem like this guy's done anything wrong. I don't know.
I mean, if a pastor needs redemption, that's a little scary.
Especially at 28 and he's still a pastor.
But he, in a clip on the Instagram, he is calling the wrong name, to saying like, oh, we need to get this guy, similar to what Carter did with Penner. He's like, oh, I always say the wrong name. This is going to be so bad. And everyone's like, this is going to be so bad.
Yeah.
So I do not have high hopes for Daniel at all.
All right, good. With something we actually have to work with here. He also is wearing a hat that says, yeah, nah. And he's posing like, is it, I don't know how to say her name. Is it Aisha? I don't know. I'm going to go with Aisha.
They put it in the chat. Okay. Aisha.
I mean, that's probably a guess though. Like somebody in the chat once told me that Monica's name was Aisha. So Aisha, I feel like they're both going for the same hat pose here. I'm going to go with her over Dangle. Yeah, nah.
Well, he's a little bit more salute-y. She was a little bit more cheeky with the head tilt, too.
Yeah, this was definitely another one that took them hours and hours and hours to record.
Will we have Forrest, a
dantham? Will he have a dantham? I like that. I like that. All right. Moving on. We're ripping.
Yeah.
Lauren Laws Mack, TBD on the age.
By Laws.
Okay. Definitely older than the other people here. Stay-at-home mom. Might have taken the adventure thing a bit far. Survivor's ready. Took part in a bushcraft training course in Tonga, followed by a trek up mountains in Africa, and started a bushcraft and survival training course for women. She trekked to Everest base camp in 2010 at 6 weeks pregnant. If wins, going to buy land and invest in Bitcoin. Well, I hope she didn't win, because if she invested in Bitcoin, she currently has no money left. Because Bitcoin since...
There's another contestant that was like, I'm going to invest in Bitcoin. Like, is Bitcoin big in Australia and I just don't know about it?
I mean, all I know is Bitcoin went from like 130,000 to like 50,000 in 2 weeks or something like that. So hopefully they're all going to start investing now. This woman seems like a badass, but the older badass women and men on Australian Survivor never really seemed to get their footing as legitimate threats in Survivor. Like she has, right. She checks all the boxes that would make me say, oh man, like she's going to kill it. She's going to be fun. She's going to do this. But I do feel like most of these like more adventure-y type, older types on Australian Survivor never really hit.
She looks a lot like Kristen. Like that she could be related from Kristen from the last season that wasn't AU versus the World.
Brains versus Brawn 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know. So that gives me a similar trajectory because she looks similar to Kristen. So nice. Maybe she's doing the redemption for Kristen's game.
What place did Kristen get?
I don't know. Merge some point.
Yeah, she was close to that. Okay. Yeah, I like, I mean, I like when they put the older. Seems
insane, like a badass.
Yeah, I mean, all of that stuff there, you're like, wow, that's a lot. That's impressive. Again, I don't understand the redemption thing, but here we are.
Yes.
It feels like the theme was built around the players who are returning and not taking into account at all the players who are.
Who are, yeah. I hope we find out something of like their redemption arcs of the non-returnee players.
Brian K says Kelly 2.0. I hope not. No. I am not a Kelly fan. I'm not a Kelly fan. She was too much for me.
That's Titans versus Rebels, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paula Drew, 32, vet nurse. Live, laugh, 45 days without a bath. BRB, lathering SPF. She had her friends convinced she was in Europe when she was actually in Samoa battling it out on Survivor. If wins, going to follow F1 through Europe. Also, I think she was one out when I was watching some of the clips. She was in like the talking about her outfit one.
Mm.
And like, oh, I got my hair scrunchy, but she doesn't call it a scrunchy. I forget. I feel like she gave personality, but I feel like she's going to be overshadowed. I feel like she's almost like star where it's like all a bit and it's not going to hit.
She's got to go. Anyone who starts with live, laugh, love, 45 days without a bath.
She didn't say love. That's sorry.
Live, laugh, 45 days without a bath. I still can't. I'm out on Paula.
Okay. It rhymes. She needs redemption for bad puns. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, there it is.
BRB, lathering SPF.
I'm out.
Yeah. I see that. I do feel like, like I said, I think it's going to be a bit and then she's going to end up getting caught. And eventually it's not going to work anymore.
I mean, redemption for her friendships that she lied to, that she was in Europe, but she was actually in Samoa.
Also, whoever made this thing capitalized Europe once, didn't the second time. All right, next.
Crazy.
I wonder who that was. All right. Cameron Quabena Quashi, 25, Melbourne, Victoria, I guess. MMA fighter, ranked featherweight. You either go get or get got. Oh, I like that. That's better than BRB lathering SPF.
Yes, I'll take this one over that.
Would rather endurance over puzzle. Would rather blindside than stay loyal. And if wins, buys a house, then take mom on a trip. Okay, new rule for the Australian survivors. It's like how the U.S. survivors can't say their inspiration in life is their parents. Australian survivors are no longer allowed to say they want to buy a house. We're out on buying houses. We're out on buying.
Don't worry. We're going to get more people wanting to buy a house.
But MMA fighter.
Maybe he just had a bad match and he got beat up real bad. And it's just like, I need redemption, but in the Survivor arena.
Let's see.
You're going to look up his
record. I am. I'm going to look up his record. Let's see what he's done. Whoa, that is not. Oh,
his redemption is finally winning something. So maybe he does lose fights. We'll see.
I can't find it. I couldn't find it in a very quick fashion. Therefore, we will never find it. But these types tend to work for me on Australian more than US because I feel like Australian loves to go for the beefcakes. They love to go for the muscular guys. And actually, that's the one archetype that I think Australian Survivor edits significantly better than US Survivor, especially nowadays. So
I think also they cast a lot of beefy boys. And so when you have a bunch of beefy boys on your season, you're not the solo singled out one, like a Jonathan, like you have a few guys with muscles all around you.
Yeah. I wonder if this is real from Barnes Gannon. His MMA record on Sherdog is 0-4. That's not good. And then St. Cliffo Quashi isn't a name that lends itself to winning fights. He gets squashed. He gets squat. I mean, that does work. I don't know. I feel I also like he's doing the punch, like, oh, he has a Muay Thai shirt. Smiling and he's got glasses on, like
pink shorts, Muay Thai shirt, just ready to knock you out.
Yeah, what is that? Cactuses on the shorts? Yeah, I'm not buying that.
Forget about it. If there's sumo at sea, you're dead.
What was the name of the guy who was the strong man? What was his name? Strong man, Australian survivor. Somebody in the chat, help me. I can never. Jaden. I'm not as good with names here on Australian because I watched so quickly, but Jaden was a good one. And I could see Cameron being similar to that, where he was like, he didn't really get the game fully, but he was an interesting character while he was there. So, all right. Jackson Goonery. So this is the guy who wants Harry out. 23, Sydney, pro wrestler. Scott Green is his stage name. In a teaser, Jackson says to his fellow tribe mates at Tribal Council that Harry is living up to his nickname. Dirty Harry came to me with a proposition. He declares to gasps of shock. This is the newbie that we have heard the most about because of his thing with Dirty Harry that has been played in so many of the episodes.
And he is the one who got the wrong name by the pastor. So the pastor says, like, oh, we'll just vote out Jackson or something like that. And then Jackson's like, let's not do that.
Oh, so Daniel's going to be the first person voted out.
Yeah, I think Daniel's not long for that. I mean, John Raymond for real.
Yeah. No, Jackson, they've been really, he's the one person I feel like is being hyped. That's not,
I think him player. And Lottie are probably going to link up because Lottie was also not wanting the boys either.
Okay. Cool. I mean, look, but I also could see because of how Dirty Harry plays, you say to this Jackson guy, hey, you want to get me out, but what if?
Yeah.
Together.
Mm-hmm.
Never count out Dirty Harry.
Never.
All right. So that's Jackson. I feel like we're going to end up hearing a lot about him. He's probably going deep. The thing is, either him or Dirty Harry's going out early on this season. We just don't know which.
We don't until the day comes.
Next, Richard Scheman. So this guy's like Soup Man, 46. Yep. I remember this. CEO and co-founder of Crowdcoder, former CEO of Instant Scripts, and was managing director of news.com.au back in 2020. Long distance runner. Let's see if strategy, endurance, and a little humanity can outlast the elements and outwit these castaways. Time to test every skill I've ever used in business, leadership, and life.
David Sampson?
You know, that's the funny thing. And I just rewatched Kageyan. David Sampson would have done well on that season if he wasn't so committed to voting out Garrett at that first tribal.
Yeah.
And so the question will be, can Richard take a back seat to other people? We have seen other people on seasons who can't take a back seat when they're in these managerial roles. Mm-hmm. Is he actually the good person he says, right? Humanity. Will he have a little humanity? I don't know. We don't know.
I can see him also being the one of two things, either trying to run the tribe or the one that just keeps getting dragged along for votes and like doesn't have an arc, doesn't have a story, like thinks he can make it all the way to the end and win, but actually just people have been telling him where to vote.
Yeah. I mean, Daryl says Richard comes across the first boot. Barnes Gannon, this feels like a classic gonna boss people around character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And yeah, Daryl says even his name is scheming. So here we are. All right, let's move on from him.
Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flour for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALIST when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
All right, so we are now to our second tribe. Are you assuming these are the tribes? What is happening?
So it's based on the wiki. They say the tribe is TBD, but their colors of the boxes are these colors, and also a bunch of their buffs are visible. So I definitely know with the buffs that are visible, but with the other ones, I just went with based on what the wiki said. So it could be totally wrong, but
okay. Well, let's see what happens. So we got Brooke. She's only 32 now. She was on season one in 2016. I guess that makes her 22. Shit. Okay. That's not that crazy. AU 2016 and All-Stars 7th and 4th. Back where it all began 10 years later, third time around, and with a much bigger reason to win. She's back, baby. Let's go. Brooke competed on the Challenge Australia, got second, co-hosted the HVV Australian Survivor Talking Tribal podcast. All fun facts on the wiki equal challenge beast. Now, in season one, she was voted out because Flick flipped on her in like one of those like notorious blindsides that really set into motion like the downfall of that tribe. And people thought Flick was going to win that season. And then Flick comes back for her second season, is barely on the season. And Brooke and her played together on that one too. I'm happy to see Brooke back. I think she's one of the more interesting female characters that Australian Survivor has had. I think she's one of those rare season one characters who still pops. Bobo Joe says Brooke is boring. I can see why people would think that, but I do feel like she always has the potential to make a deep run, and she's always in it. Like, she's always doing stuff. And if Flick hadn't flipped on her in that first season, she could have easily won. I don't know. I like Brooke. I'm a fan of Brooke.
This will be my first interaction with Brooke, but I'm really excited because I watched the challenge world competition where the person who beat her was on it. And so it's going to be, I really like a challenge beast in some of the girls, because we talk about these big boys, you know, big boy Lockie and all that. Mm-hmm. And all of her stats in the fun facts in the wiki were just, did this with challenges, did that with challenges, did this with challenges. And to have her on this season and to dominate some challenges, I'm really looking forward to that and taking away some of the highlights for some of the big guys.
She, what did she do? She won three in a row late in the season. So that Shawnee, AK Tarzan went, and that's how she got to final four. And she was kind of the thorn in the side as that was going on. She was close with Lockie and all that. But, like, you know, I mean, she's good. Like, she is solid. And if she gets to final three, there's a very good chance that she wins that season. I don't know if she could have beaten David, but
she also held the record for a while for the
I guess it's final
five three. Immunity wins in a season. But then Kellen broke that with the seven. We also had someone else break it, I think, with six. But she still holds the women's record. I think someone tied her with it, but.
Gotcha. Okay. Moving on. Sandy AP says, what is her redemption? Just not winning. That's what makes it easy with the non-winners, is it's just not winning. But
yeah,
it's like, you know, she didn't do anything wrong and she's likable.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Warnock, 37, Townsville, Titans versus Rebels, third place. I'm just happy to be at the table with these legends. He's here for redemption, but also for vengeance. I'm unstoppable right now. I'm the biggest player on the beach. I have a really tight grip on the control of the tribe. This quote, would rather puzzle over endurance, would rather blindside than stay loyal. Here's why I think Mark Warnock is screwed.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yep.
The Instagram video, TikTok video that they put out for Mark was Mark being like, I'm in control of everything. And then they actually put, really, Mark? Well, Dirty Harry's here. And it's like, oh my God, Mark Warnock, or like something like that. Like, it's almost like they were mocking him in the trailer for it. I feel like he's going to go out early. He's too fresh in people's minds, and Titans versus Rebels is too popular too.
Honestly, I thought he went out earlier than third. I watched all of Titans versus Rebels because he just wasn't all that memorable to me. And so when I saw him on, I was like, but why? He's also the only player that's played once before this. It's kind of like a David Wright going into Edge of Extinction. Mm-hmm. He has a strategic game like David did, and I think he's gonna get a big target on his back just because of that. Because he's gonna want to control everything. I think he's gonna be one of those controlling forces, and if they don't submit to him and rise up, he's out.
Yeah, I agree. And that's where like David Wright kind of wasted his return opportunity, because he's somebody who probably should have been on 50, but 38 people kind of like lower down David's gameplay. And he falls into that same position, just missing Final Tribal Council. James Barber says, I think Mark would do really well on an actual all-star season, but not this. I agree with that. Like, I feel like he's in trouble here. I feel like people are going to be looking at him. He was in the middle-aged mafia. He was kind of playing both sides a little bit there. And you know, he had that like, oh, I'm just going to keep surviving. I'm going to keep finding a way. I don't know. I don't have high hopes for Mark here. Not mad to see him back. I just don't have high hopes for him.
He also said, like, basically, I wouldn't change my game except for getting better calluses on my feet for the final endurance challenge. And yeah. I'm just like, you still lost the game. So there are things that you need to do to make yourself not a target once you get to that point where an immunity challenge shouldn't hold your fate in the game.
Yeah. Wow. McKenna coming out firing at poor Mark. This is Mark Warnock.
The one's going to catch hands.
Yeah. All right. Next. Johnson Ashik, 29 years old, Sydney civil engineer, runner up of Big Brother Australia in 2023. Let the games begin. I'll be trading the Big Brother house for the Samoan jungle. Did I take Big Brother's diary room, bed, shower, and lounge for granted? Let's find out. Hopefully I can survive without my barber. Wants to dethrone Prime Minister Mark. So he's already going after Mark. What do we think about the fact that they're going with a Big Brother runner-up on this?
I mean, I'm fine with it. There's a redemption right there. Yeah. Is he wants to redeem himself for a different TV show. But he wants to also keep it under wraps. So I wonder if anybody's going to notice that he is from Big Brother Australia. I don't know how big it is. And he's also from a few years ago, so it's not like it's super fresh in people's minds. So it's going to be interesting to see how that tribe navigates him, because he's also a quote unquote returning player too.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that he's kind of got like the Natalie, Nadia Anderson thing going on there.
Right.
Hayden had won. Caleb is probably a better example of Beast Mode Cowboy. So it definitely is going to help that he's played games before. It'll just be a matter of, can he keep it under wraps? Will it be something that hurts him, or is it going to be something he uses to his advantage, like Hayden did, like right. Natalie Anderson did, where it's like, no, I kind of know how to do these things. I already know how they operate.
Yeah. And to already come in with a game sense into this, I know it's they're very different games, Survivor and Big Brother, but like we talk about with the traders, if you're a gamer, you have a certain mind for other game shows and things like that. So having him now in Survivor, yes, there's no veto that you can take yourself off the block and you have to constantly be paranoid, but you're going to adapt to figure out how to navigate the game.
Yeah. Okay. Next. Kat Hooker, 40, Melbourne, Victoria, therapist, appeared on the second season of The Traitors, New Zealand. She was a strong, independent, faithful who lasted all the way to the penultimate episode, once nearly fell out of a helicopter. Wants some Bitcoin, trip to Croatia, maybe house deposit with money. Okay, so there's everybody doing the same thing. Okay, so why is this tribe now all of a sudden this? Like, why are they all
reality stars?
Yeah, like, so now she's the Traitors, he's Big Brother, like, why are they going, like, the other side felt like it was very artsy, and then the one guy...
Though she didn't mention it at all. Yeah. She didn't mention, like, much of, like, oh, I've been on the Traitors, hope they don't know who I am. Like, I saw it on one of the articles. Like, it felt as if nobody was going to recognize Kat at all.
Okay. I just still think it's interesting that this is now twice
that they've done her, this. Like, why? They're finding people to get their redemption arcs.
Yeah, I mean, both of those make sense, but weird. Okay, because they're both in the same tribe. Dr. Blanche Cruz, TBD on the age, Gold Coast acupuncturist, adult cheerleader, can do splits. Wants to buy a house for her and her four daughters. Okay, we're not allowed to do that anymore. I've traded in my acupuncture needles and gym sessions for flaming torches, next level challenges, and the ultimate island adventure. From wild twists to unforgettable moments, this has been one of the most intense and life-changing experiences ever. You're ready to cheer me on as I attempt to outwit, outplay, and outlast in the wilds of Samoa. It feels so forced. That quote feels like it was run through AI and said, what would like an older woman who's an acupuncturist say if she was going on Survivor?
So I think being an acupuncturist on Survivor could help because she knows pressure points and things like that. So if someone's down bad, it could just be like, I have the healing touch to make you feel better.
Sure, McKenna.
Listen, Coach would rather have his assistant coach on the island to crack his back that than any other loved one. So
I think the problem is, and we'll see how much younger the rest of the cast is. Most of the young cast is going to be like, we want the young girl to massage me. She's so much better at it.
Where would the entire Nakum tribe be without Margaret?
That is true. Hey, I just think about he wants to cuddle with me because I'm going to keep him warm. What if I'm 15 pounds. I can't even keep myself warm. Yeah, that's what I think of with this. So we'll see. We'll see with Blanche. Okay. Next. Faith Setiwan, TBD chef. I'll do absolutely anything for the plot. This skateboard loving mom of five. Wow. Mom of five. I can't. So is Faith older? I can't tell.
I can't tell either, but she's,
this feels like this feels like an older skewing tribe. So far, I mean, Mark is older, 37. The big brother guy was a little bit older. Trader's woman was a little bit older. Faith and Blanche now look a little bit older. And I could be wrong about Faith. I'm just saying, mom of five, that makes me think she's at least 30, right?
But she's cool. She has a skateboard.
She's pointing at herself.
Look at me. I can ride a skateboard.
I'm wearing a hat.
She brought it to the beach with her.
Did she actually?
No.
Oh my God. I was going to say, if she did that, that's ridiculous. It's like Rob
we have John Raymond. We have Rob with two B's.
If this is if this is supposed to be redemption for Survivor Thailand, we could have just went our whole lives without that season ever getting and just moved on. Yeah. I mean, we literally have nothing about Faith. So here we are.
Can't wait to see her.
Maybe she should have been with Daniel. Get it? Pastor Daniel, Faith. All right, we're moving on. That's what we have. I need redemption for that joke. Ben Nabia Davis. He looks happy to be here. God, yeah. He looks like Brad. 28, Adelaide, AFL player, also an artist, new side quest unlocked, chosen to be the 2024 SDNR artist and design the ball for that season. Ben is an absolute weapon on this, David says. Going to donate to a domestic violence charity and climate change charity in Torres Strait if he wins. So David is saying that quote. Is that before or after the season? Or is that like during
it's in a challenge. So he's like, Ben is an absolute weapon on this.
Gotcha. Good sort of not really Australian accent. Is that what you think Australian people sound like?
Okay. I can do it better, but it just did
not happen. No, I'm just joking. Ben over here. Yeah. I mean, he's somebody who's going to make it to at least the merge.
Yeah.
Or at least a swap.
He looked so much beefier in all of the videos. Like, this photo does not do like his muscles justice, but he also has a tender side with the being an artist and designing like sports balls, even though he also is an AFL player. But it made it seem like he's a part-time AFL player, but more-time artist.
Okay. We'll see what that means. I think he has potential. I don't think he can win, but I think he has potential to go far.
Yeah, and he seems like a fun, goofy guy, too, to, like, downplay some of his guns.
He has, like, an anime tattoo on his arm.
Oh yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And a, like, chicken wing bone?
I don't know what that is. I thought that was a cigarette at first. Now I'm not sure.
A tweezer with some hairs?
I know. I don't know. All right. Next. Caleb Beebe. 28, Tarwin Lower, truck driver. Time to get paranoid in paradise, baby. Floating between two alliances, playing double agent. Potentially drive out a returnee. So he's already looking at returnees. So we've gotten off of like the returning player stuff on this. Caleb, will he settle for a returnee from a different show?
Maybe, but I don't think so. I think he's headhunting for either Brooke or Mark, his presumed returnees on his tribe. In the videos, he was quoted saying, "I'm floating between two alliances and playing double agent." So that could bite him in the butt real bad, or he could be good at navigating it. We don't know. Time will tell. But it's always so risky to be saying that in the early days.
I feel like Mark is done. I mean, I don't even know if we're halfway through his cast. I don't know how many we're in on this, but I think Mark is done. I think he's done. This guy, there, it's going to be so easy for them to all say, "Hey, why don't we just get rid of Mark?"
Yeah, I don't see anybody who Mark is just like alliance. Like he doesn't have his two V's on the island. Like he's going to try and get with Brooke, but Brooke doesn't want that target and wants to just hide in the background a little bit more. So
Caleb, I don't really know. I think Caleb, who was it? Jesse? Was that the guy last? No, Rich. Rich was the guy who was brought too. It's the vibe I'm getting from Caleb here.
So your winner pick then?
Not anymore. I learned my lesson. I hadn't listened to Rich talk. It wasn't my fault. Don Rogers, 51 years old, Gold Coast country music star's brother, Matt Rogers, never heard of him, who played in two seasons, Champions versus Contenders and All-Stars. So in keeping with the family tradition and following in the footsteps of the Godfather, my bro, Matt Rogers, make sure you tune in. Legends, because it's going to be a heck of a ride. Brother played with Harry, who voted him out. I love Matt Rogers so much. Matt Rogers is like top five player for me from Australian Survivor. I think he's so entertaining. I think he's so interesting. I think what him and David pull off in the All-Star season early on is one of the great blind sides of all time. I think it's such great strategizing. This guy does not look like Matt Rogers at all.
It's going to be – so for Don to come in, he's probably doing some redemption for Matt. And I wonder if David being the host now was like, "Don, you're in. I don't care what casting has to say about it." And he's probably headhunting for Harry because Harry voted out his brother.
I'm surprised they'd put them on different tribes. Especially since who's going to know that Don is Matt's brother? Unless he tells everybody, nobody's going to know.
Yeah, I mean, they very well could be on the same tribe. This was one of the ones that was a little bit ambiguous, but the wiki said that he was on green. But yeah, that would have been drama. Or it would have been like, "Hey, you played with my brother. I'm going to work with you." Yeah. But definitely more drama, I think, than anything.
Well, the chat is loving Don. Don maybe is a person. Maybe he's a Tarzan type. I just don't see him winning. I think Matt Rogers had like a little something special that Don doesn't have.
Well,
get that chip on your shoulder, Don.
Yeah, he just probably seems like a nice guy.
Keely Jenkinson, we don't know her age, fraud prevention specialist, loves traveling, the baddest girl who ever lived, if Wynn starts a learning academy for the Pacific region. So we know nothing about Keely here.
No, absolutely nothing. She was so hard to find information on.
Yeah, she also looks like she's going to stick out on this tribe. This is an older skewing tribe.
We don't even know where she skews, though.
But I'm just looking at her. She doesn't look like she maybe hits the older version. And also, like, I don't know. I just from the picture, I'm worried for her. She's not smiling as big as everybody else.
She seems grimacing. Like she's just,
she's already in pain.
The hunger.
Yeah.
She was last to get her photos done. And it's like, this is painful.
James Barber, incoming 10 confessionals, final 7.
That. That's hilarious.
Love that. Sandy App asks, did Matt Rogers didn't want to come back? So they got his brother. Yeah, seriously. Why not just put Matt Rogers? Get Simon out of there. Put Matt Rogers on. Matt Rogers needs redemption because he got blindsided with the idol and then he gets voted out early in All-Stars. He needs redemption.
Yeah.
All right, Keely, sorry, I have nothing.
Yeah, we don't.
Oh my God, it's Long Sock Sally. She's back. That actually looks so much like Sally from Panama. It's insane.
Oh, that's
if you aged like not even age, like if you just like kind of said, "Hey, Sally's now in
that yeah, she's just related to Sally from Panama."
Sally Ford, TBD from Donborough, student, never imagined she'd get to play the game she's loved watching since her teens, would rather a puzzle over endurance, would rather blindside than stay loyal. She literally is just giving me Sally from Panama vibes. That's insane. Like, and it's not just the name, the hair, everything.
She makes the merge.
Yeah, that's it. In brutal fashion where we have to watch an astronaut get voted out. Yeah. I mean, I could see, I mean, if she loves the game and she's younger and like she actually has a mind for it, I could see her doing well.
I think from what I was gauging, they mentioned in one of the articles, like, she posted edited out clips from her audition tape, but it's all her like messing up and flubs and things like that. So I think she's going to provide a lot of comedic relief to the tribe and be a little bit more on the social, but might be overly social in the sense of like Elaine, where Elaine was a big target because of her social game.
Yeah, I could go either way on her, but even though I don't see much over here, I have a better feeling than a bad feeling for her. Good job, Sally. Tez Vlamis, 24, student, currently doing a master's in criminal law, marathon runner. Wow, he should have been on the other tribe with the other guy who's a distance runner. Youngest of six, all money going to mom and sister, watching Survivor since he was 6 years old, seen every blindside twist and tribal meltdown, thought it was just a phase. Turns out it actually was training. He was talking about his attire where he's wearing running shorts and a sweatshirt. Yeah,
those shorts are his like go-to shorts.
I feel like somebody like this always has the potential to stay around for a while, but like, don't see him as the winner. I don't.
Who was the one that got voted or got medevaced from Brains versus Brawn 2 that I was like gonna hate?
What?
But he didn't stick around for that long for me to really hate him.
Okay, now I have to look.
Zen! Thanks, Hyro.
Oh, Zen. Yeah. He went out.
It's going to be a mix of Zen and Rizgod.
Okay. Hey, that's not a bad thing. Well, he fell in the middle and finished like 12th.
Right.
I mean, Barnes Gannon says this season's Miles, I guess. Don't think this guy will win, though. Like, I could see him wanting to play like Miles. I don't see him playing like Miles.
No, I think he has more of that younger energy. Like, Miles didn't have that like kid. He feels like a kid.
Yeah, agreed. I agree with that.
And what does a kid need redemption for?
What does he need redemption for? He's a we got the off that topic. That he's in?
I don't know.
But his name also has three letters like Zen's. Like, I don't get it. It doesn't make sense.
They both have Z and E.
Oh, well, so that was the whole cast. Now we have David Golden God. Champions versus Contenders 2, All-Stars, AU versus the World, 10th, First, 13th, previous contestant turned host, played with Brooke and Harry in 2023. David hosted Rush, a travel adventure show. So he's here instead of JLP. How are we feeling about the fact that there's two people he played with and the brother of one person he played with on the show?
I feel like that's weird. I would feel hosting someone that I played with. And I would feel weird if I was another contestant being like, okay, is David favoring in some way?
That would be my concern. That's a hard thing. Like, you can get cheeky with them in a way that like you're not supposed to as a host. And I feel like, if I'm Brooke and if I'm the other players and I see Brooke and Harry, I am definitely a little bit more worried that the Golden God is hosting.
Yeah. And we see some like back and forth comments in some of the videos between, I want to say it's Brooke, says like, all right, David, like, having that,
it's like Kenner talking to Jeff, right? Except,
but you still know friends. That there's a host contestant relationship when you've played with someone. But he's actually what the wiki listed. Okay, so I didn't mention Dondi because he didn't host Dondi. This one he hosted, but anyhow, where was I? Now I lost my train of thought completely. You go, Phil.
I have nothing else to say about David. I'm ready to bounce off and start asking for winner picks, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we can go through that.
You get one man and one woman. That's it.
All right. My woman is obviously Lindell, the model.
Okay, wait. Hold on, I got there she is.
I can't not pick a model as my winner pick. So we are going with Lindell 100%. Right. And then my guy. Oof. I feel like I don't have faith.
James Barber wants to know who gets redemption. As long as they all have fun, that's all that matters. That's the redemption.
All right. I think I'm going to go. I'll go with Mr. Smiley, Ben Davis.
Okay. So you got Ben Davis and Lindell. Hang on. I got to find Ben Davis so people know who you're talking about.
He's all the way toward the bottom.
I know. Thanks for making me do that. There he is. Oh, man. See, I like Ben. I feel like I'd go Ben as my male pick for sure. I can't. Are you going south? Brutal. That picture. I'm sorry, Tez. Like that, the arm. They're making him look like he's like a like. They're making him look like, oh yeah, I'm doing my like rap thing, and it's like.
But also, but like,
I'm not good.
My sleeves are too long.
That makes no sense to me. That's really bad. Not him. That's Daniel. I'm flicking through this really, really fast. I don't know. Men is tough because I do think Ben would be my pick for men. So I'll go out on a limb here. I'll go with Don.
All right.
What do I have to lose? I'm picking Don. Sure. I wanted Matt Rogers to win so bad. I'm taking Don. So there you go. He's like a, you know, he's more of a beefcake than Matt Rogers, but definitely not going to be as good at challenges. But I'll take Don. That sounds good. For the women, I'm not going to go with Lindell. You made it easy, so I don't have to take Lindell. I'm going to go right here. There you go. The hat tail. Right. That's what I needed. That's what I needed. So, Aisha, that's what I'm going with. Thank you.
All right.
If you're a bad actress, that's your fault. Deadly is what your redemption is for. I hope it's not. But, yeah, I'm going to go here. There you go. Aisha. Look at that. Our podcast, normally our cast assessments, like when we do US, are like 2.5 hours. This one's an hour because we have no info. We're just rolling.
Could have talked for that long if we had information.
I'm so glad we didn't have information.
Hiro asked, who is the final two of the season? And it's going to be Lindell and not Don, Ben.
Yeah, I'm going to have Aisha and Don. That's my final two. Yeah. All right. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. We're not going to do anything else. Maybe we do the draft. We'll have to see. I don't know. Probably not. So the first episode airs on the 23rd of February, the Monday before the premiere of 50. Probably do an episode recap for the premiere and then probably get into just doing weekly episodes rather than doing daily episodes. But we'll do one for the premiere and then we'll get into doing the weekly. We got to see what the schedule looks like too. Hopefully they're not like, oh, we're going to air on Wednesdays too. Wouldn't that be silly? Aren't we little silly goose?
That's when we do Wednesday morning.
Yeah, that's when we maybe give up on Australian Survivor. Don't make us do it. So thank you all so much for listening. We'll have Australian Survivor coverage on the Patreon weekly once the season starts. I have an episode this week also coming out where I'm just going to kind of talk a little bit more about this cast and everything that we know about them and all that fun stuff. So thank you all so much for listening. And check out some of our other content. I'm not going to go into all of it because if you're listening to Australian Survivor stuff, you know what else we're doing. So thank you all. And we'll see you next time.